Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
With you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Nikki.
We have Jeremy on the line with us. Jeremy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Australia, near the Gold Coast in Australia.
Oh, excellent.
You're the morning show here. It's 9:10 in the morning, so...
Oh, great. So we're a morning show somewhere. So you're you're putting work in over at TikTok for Free Talk Live, making shorts for us. What did you want to tell us about that?
I've been doing that for a few months and finally starting to get the followers up. They've actually doubled in the last few days to just over 500. But we need to get to 1,000 so that the show can actually be broadcast live on TikTok every day. So we just need to double it once more. So everybody listening that has TikTok, whether you love the show or you hate the show, it doesn't matter. The algorithm doesn't care. Please go over to TikTok to @FreeTalkLive and follow Free Talk Live. And we'll get even if TikTok gets banned in America, we'll still at least be able to go live on TikTok around the rest of the world.
I hope that doesn't happen, but yes, that it doesn't get banned in America, I mean. But yes, I do hope that anybody listening will subscribe to us on TikTok. It's just @FreeTalkLive. No one had taken that when I made it. It's @FreeTalkLive, and Jeremy is completely in control of it, makes his own shorts, and I really appreciate that.
So what is the content on there, Jeremy? Is it just like clips of the show?
Yeah, you're on there all the time.
Cool.
So you might want to check it out. Get an account just to follow it. It's a lot of it's the stuff that I find the funniest, because sometimes you guys go into a little bit of comedy, especially when the captain's there.
Yeah, Sunday night is our silly night.
And then I try to, almost every time there's a caller, I try to put that up.
Nice.
So yeah.
So is there a bunch of Skeeter?
Actually, has he still been? I haven't heard him lately. He hasn't been calling every night, has he?
Probably not every night. I feel like he's only been calling on Thursdays for me for a long time. But he doesn't call as often. And sometimes if I have a bunch of options, I'll just go to everyone else before him.
I probably wouldn't put him on there if you're trying to keep followers.
He's here in the studio right now.
No, because
it's your boy.
Oh my god.
No, but actually, people hating and arguing is good for the algorithm.
So. I agree, actually. Yeah. Especially when it's just so ridiculous.
I've been trying to, every time you guys talk about trend stuff, I try to put that up because I think that's pretty, people like to argue about that. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is a very divisive topic right now.
I appreciate your work on it so much. It is a lot of work. I tried doing that for a while, and it just wasn't for me. Like, you definitely have a knack for it, Jeremy. So I think that we should...
Well, I find it a lot of fun. It means that I can listen to you guys and actually call it work. yeah, I find it fun.
Well, thanks so much. Is there anything else on your mind?
No, but I haven't been really following the TikTok ban stuff that much. So if you guys know anything more about that and want to talk about it without me, then obviously wherever you want to go. But that's a request of a topic.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, cool. Thank you for your service, Jeremy.
I don't think there's anything new on that front. As far as I know, the last time I read anything about that, it was going to go to Senate. And if it goes through Senate, then... Joe Biden did say he will sign it. Do you know anything about this, the TikTok ban, Colin?
All I know is if both parties are on board for it, that it's probably a horrible idea.
Yeah, right.
And they probably just want to take control of it and so that they can use it to control what people are thinking.
Yeah,
rather
instead
than
of China.
Yeah. I mean, they might complain like, oh, the Chinese are using it to do this or do that. But honestly, I think it'd be great if like every country was doing that and we all had like an average amount of like stuff we were getting from around the world so we didn't get one particular message.
Yeah, right. We do have a story tonight about how women are both happier and sadder than men.
That makes sense because they're...
Why are you looking at me?
I just thought
you're the man.
Annoying.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
Well, that makes sense, though, because women typically are known for having a wider range of emotions.
I agree. When Ian told me that,
Like, they're a little bit more emotionally intelligent. And I don't like making generalizations about the sexes just, like, so broadly like that.
Yeah.
But typically, like, that's the stereotype.
I think there's a biological reason behind it. And what's funny is Ian couldn't even... He thought it was people answering the surveys wrong. I was like, no, I totally believe... He was like, how could it be? It says that men or women are both sadder and happier than men. I was like, that totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about it, like, a lot of people, like... For example, if someone's on antidepressants, sometimes they'll just be very flat and in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so they're not
exactly
depressed anymore, yeah, but they also can't experience that, like, the same level of happiness, yeah, and excitement, yeah, that they used to be able to. It's they're just, like, a little bit more in the middle, which is sometimes a good thing, sometimes a bad thing, I guess.
And also just, like, the whole, like, monthly cycle women have, like, I feel like there is at least 1 week where I am beyond everything's fine, everything's great, I could do whatever. And then there's just like one day during my period or like right before my period and then one day during my period, I'm like way more moody. I don't have the worst period in the world, thank God. Like I used to think other people were just exaggerating about how bad their periods were for like attention or something, but now I think it's just like they're eating seed oils and it really is that bad.
Yeah, their hormones are horribly imbalanced. Hmm. And normally when women are talking about like PMS and really bad cramps, anything like that is a direct indication of imbalanced hormones. And normally, like nowadays, that's caused by either birth control, like hormonal birth control,
yeah,
or seed oils. Other, you know, unhealthy dietary and lifestyle habits can absolutely really jack up people's hormones.
You know, I wonder too, to what degree this changes over time. So like you saying that women are happier and sadder than men in general, I would believe that. And I would believe that across time. I wonder if this study, is it saying that it's more so now than it was in the past?
Hmm.
I have no idea. I haven't actually read the story. We could get into it though. So there's a woman named Emily Bobrow.
Oh, wait, I already don't believe her with a name like that. No, just go ahead.
Emily Bobrow for the Wall Street Journal. She says, I have a good job, a loving husband, healthy kids, and a comfortable home. I came late to it all, and I sometimes can't believe my luck that the sleep warm little bodies. I've never seen that
Can
before.
I just say how much I hate articles are written like this?
I was like, what?
Is there like a part where it says the info and you could just skip down to that part?
Yeah, but I just want to see her main point, and then I always skip like a whole lot because like if I read the whole thing it would get annoying, but I want to get her point here. She says that the sleep warm little bodies I help dress in the morning are my own children. Wow. There's just this weird obsession with like, they're my own children. Like,
my DNA.
Yeah, you'd be like upset if you adopted them.
That was a lot of words for like, I dress my kids in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. She's saying basically that she is happy that she has a comfortable life and she should be happy. She has it all. And then she says, but the cliches about motherhood and aging and that ever elusive work-life balance did not quite prepare me for the cliches of my life. Time slides by in a haze of emails that need answering, tushies that need wiping, and Cheerios encrusted floors that need more than the feckless Swiffering they'll get. Nikki, one thing I think is that this lady, just like, I just think that all people say this, and I just think you truly will be able to like have a baby and keep your house clean.
Thank you. That's,
no, no,
it's
no.
Not
Bonnie's
something...
trolling you right now. She picked this article to read to you.
Everybody complains
so,
about
and it's not something
stuff.
I worry about, but it's funny that you say that because I'm in a lot of different moms groups, and someone was posting in there the other day in one of my groups saying that, like, how do you, like, genuinely, like, help? How do you guys keep your house clean? I'm trying to clean my house, and then immediately my kids destroy it. And I didn't want to comment on it because I don't have children yet. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it might be a little inappropriate for me to, like, give advice on something that I truly don't understand yet. But my initial reaction was, well, your kids should be helping you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when, like, they're toddlers, and I talk about this sometimes when kids are like 2 and 3 years old, they really, really want to help. They want to do what they see their parents
doing. I remember doing chores willingly when I was really young.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until it turned into a thing where it's like, okay, now do this while I leave.
Yeah, now it's mandatory.
And also like kind of like it's a punishment too. And then, yeah.
Well, I think a big issue is a lot of adults don't want 2 and 3 year olds helping, because they either think that it's inappropriate, like, oh, I don't want them mopping the floor or whatever, like, oh, go play, you know, you're a little kid. But that's when they want, that is playing for
them. That's weird, yeah. I think children are honestly their parents' property.
I don't think that.
And I knew you didn't think that, but the more I think about it, the more it makes sense to me, because it's like, there's like these ideas that people are like, oh, kids should be able to grow up and sue their parents if they got circumcised. I don't think
I think that's unfair. Yeah. But I don't think necessarily, I mean, I don't even think we have to go so far as to say that they're property. In my opinion, I don't think children are property. I think children are human beings. I do think it is a parent's responsibility to keep their child safe, housed, fed, all of the things like that. When you create a human being, like, it's your responsibility to see them into an adulthood in a non-abusive way. But I don't think that makes my children my property. They're my family. Yeah, just like Matt is my family.
Yeah, but he,
like,
can control himself. They're my family. He won't just run into the road and kill himself.
But I don't think children do that.
And also, like, the government won't go to you and try to take Matt away from you, saying that you're unable to take care of him.
Yeah, but my beliefs are that children kind of homestead their rights as they grow. So they'll start to assert themselves and say, this is my right to do this or to not do that. And then
they themselves that they can. They show the parents that too.
But
I agree.
At the same time, you know, the kid might say, well, I don't need you. And then the parent will be like, you know, back in the day, this is how it actually go down. You know, if you imagine, like, you know, the Wild West, the kid might be like, I don't need you. And he's like, okay, then get the heck off of my property.
And then he'd come back and be like,
okay, I still need you for now.
And that's a good lesson for the child. I think that with...
Well, then it becomes more like an agreement and a contract at that point, you know?
I guess so. I guess, in regards to children, because obviously, like, as they grow up and develop and age and mature, it's, like, the amount of freedom that a child gets directly corresponds to the amount of responsibility that they can take. So as, you know, as children show that they have the maturity to be able to take care of certain things, like, then kids can kind of have that freedom. But
yeah,
I don't know.
When that happens,
it's tough.
That's when they're no longer property. In my opinion, when I think back just when they prove it, there's not a one age for each person. It's just like,
but,
once they can,
well,
once
I,
you
I
can assert your,
not
well,
the
let
right
me just finish my
thing
sentence.
Either, because property
once you
implies
finish
you could
your,
sell them.
Yeah, you should be able to. You should be able to say, I don't want to raise these kids anymore, so do
you
want to adopt
Ian's
them?
Ian's property? Can he sell you?
No, I'm not Ian's property because I can assert my rights. I can take care of myself. So wait, I just want to finish the thought really fast. So when I think back to myself as a six-year-old, it doesn't bother me to think I was my parents' property. They were taking care of me. They've spent all the money. The only thing they asked of me was like, oh, put the dry dishes away and then go play all day. Like, if your parents are abusive, well, that's absolutely awful. But other adults should come into the situation. It doesn't really change the situation to me. Like, if you are beating a dog, I think somebody should be able to take your property from you. But my dog's my property.
Yeah, I guess I just don't agree with referring to human beings as property. Like,
think,
it feels
like
a slavery,
like,
thing to me.
I used to think the same thing, and now I think that's just an emotional thing.
Yeah. Also, the other thing with, like, when I asked you, I'm trying to remember, like, verbatim what I said, like, when they're able to, like, when that line is when they're not property anymore, it gets very complicated because they're, what they're learning and, like, as they're able to take responsibilities, like, it's not like a flat date where it's like, okay, like, wow, you know, I, like, woke up one day and realized, like, my kid is, like, really responsible and mature, and now, you know, it's like that line is really fuzzy, and
I
understand, like,
way.
It's going to be different for every kid, but it's like, it's just hard for me to envision, like, at what point, like, what is the actual criteria
I think you would just realize that as you're an adult. I think that's exactly what happened to me as a child. One day, it just became obvious. Like, there becomes a point where I could have just ran away and taken care of myself, but I didn't because I appreciated the stuff my parents were giving me.
You're not allowed to do that. Like,
yeah,
if you try running away, the government will take you back to your parents and force you to be with them, you know.
That's because they think you're their property.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I do think the 18-year-old cutoff is really dumb. I personally am not interested in video games, so that's why I'm fine with just being like, yeah, they suck, whatever. But like anything, you know, there's nuance to it.
Because when I was a kid, all the video games, you'd either have to get all of the other kids there and play it in multiplayer mode, or you were just like basically playing it alone.
Yeah.
And so that was a lot worse in some ways.
I guess that does make it slightly better because the reason that like masturbating is worse for men than it is for women is because men get completely drained of like their drive
vital
to
essences.
No,
their precious bodily fluids.
I only drink
rainwater and grain alcohol. People.
Their ability to want to go out and do, and that's what men are literally
really?
For. And women, like, they can masturbate and have just the same amount of want to go do as before because we're just wired differently.
I've never heard of this. I'm going to have to look into that. That's interesting.
I was specifically looking into it recently because I've always wondered, why do people say masturbating is bad for men but sex is good for men? And the reason is because, like, your hormones and their hormones do things together that are helpful. If you're just like...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. If you're just shooting off and you're all alone.
Well, it's like the difference between just eating food and then like going and hunting for it. Like there's the whole process that goes involved in doing all the things and getting ready and going out there.
It's more like
and
somebody just putting food directly in your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the thing. And so it destroys motivation because why go out and do the thing when you could just, you know, order the food, or in this case, order the sexual experience.
But that's why I think video games are so much more bad for boys, because the thing is, like, I literally play Angry Birds every single day, but whenever I have something important to do, I just don't. Like, I do it to listen to my podcast. If anything, I'm, like, more addicted to listening to podcasts and stuff than the Angry Birds, but, like...
Yeah, I feel like what you're describing would be, like, the same thing as if you were, like, knitting or crocheting. You're just doing something to keep your hands busy, kind of.
Could I suggest a better way to listen to do it?
Well, listen, like, I don't really actually want you to suggest that to me, because I think to myself, I could be doing
something... No, anybody who's listening to
the
show, it's not just you. There's, like, you know, there's millions of listeners right now.
Billions,
maybe.
I could be doing something more productive, but sometimes I actually want to not be doing anything, and there's nothing wrong with just not doing anything for a second. But it's not going to mess up my brain chemistry to where I'm literally a bitch man who does stupid things all day. Like, it really will do that to men. I'm sorry that it's not fair.
What, podcasts?
No, video games. Video games.
No, I was
saying it depends on the podcast.
Yeah. I would say with the podcast thing, like, you could try, like, taking notes and then revisiting topics later and, like, doing a little bit of research to see what the person said. Or you could actually just be, like, drawing, you know, things and
but
then
I'm
you're, like,
thinking
getting
about
good
it
at
the
drawing
whole time.
Or something.
I've never been someone who needed to take notes.
I don't know that you could be thinking if you're doing Angry Birds. Like, that seems
like
that...
But that's the thing. You don't need to think. I'm literally sitting there contemplating and thinking.
Well, that's why I compared it to crocheting or knitting, because that's another... It's, like, a more, like... muscle memory.
Exactly.
Where you're not really like focusing on something. You're just...
There aren't like words on the screen that I have to read. There aren't like math questions you have to do. I know how to do the game at this point. I'm not in a learning phase. It's basically just like you're
second nature almost.
I just mean it seems like an unproductive thing to do.
That's exactly
what
I'm telling you. I don't want you to tell me to do it because I'm
productive
all freaking day.
Well, but you
sometimes
could be
I
more
want to
productive.
Be unproductive.
Well, you're not being unproductive because you're listening to a podcast.
And that's exactly what I think, too. And plus, I'm also usually doing it at a time when I'm doing something like drinking coffee, which for Ian isn't an excuse to stop working. But for me, it's an excuse to stop working until I'm done with my coffee and then I stop.
Yeah, I don't think it's a negative thing necessarily.
Thank you, Nikki.
But because when I listen to podcasts, I'm either driving or folding laundry or cleaning the floor or doing dishes. You know, I'm like doing household tasks.
Yeah, I do that as
well. So it's kind of like the same, right?
Yeah.
I guess you could argue that I'm being more productive, but whatever.
Yeah. But I do the same thing also.
That listening to a podcast or an audiobook while I'm doing, like, that really gives me the strength I need to fold laundry.
And you wouldn't say to her that she's not listening because she's folding laundry. It's the same exact thing. Because
no,
I
think specifically that kind of game, like it's meant to kind of challenge you in a way. Like there's points and you have to.
I think it's just as challenging as folding laundry. I mean, I do both.
Wait,
both
folding laundry, is that hard for you?
No.
But Angry Birds also isn't, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's not hard.
Yeah, no, I wanted to twist it the other way.
I know you do. Well, I think that this survey should have also carried or counted anger. Are women both sadder and happier and more angry than men? Because Colin's always trying to make me angry.
I don't know. Men can get pretty angry.
And we have Turd Ferguson from Pennsylvania on the line. Turd, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, so as many of you may know, in a city that I hold very near and dear to my heart, a city that I love so much, a large cargo ship crashed into a bridge.
You love Baltimore?
Scott Key Bridge. Yeah.
I'm judging you. Oh, please turn your radio off in the background. I can hear myself. Or if I'm on speaker, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
So anyway, as I was saying, the cargo ship crashed into a piece of key infrastructure in the United States. And statistically speaking, from the Department of Commerce, we know that actually the Francis Scott Key, the port underneath the Francis Scott Key Bridge, pulls in about number 17th in the United States for imports in every port in the United States. So I've watched this video of this ship crashing into the bridge many, many times now. I've zoomed it in, and I've watched it at a couple different angles. And at first, it looks like there's maybe like a power shortage.
Yep, yeah, that's been acknowledged, that there was a power outage. And it happened once, then turned back on, and then went out again. But oh, go ahead. Yeah, I have a lot of things to say. I just was researching this today.
That is what it looks like. But look, I've watched this now a bunch of times, probably a few dozen times now. And if you zoom this in really hard and kind of watch the seconds before it crashed into the bridge, it's very apparent that at first the ship is going to miss the bridge. Like there's no way it's going to hit that pillar. And then at the last two or three seconds, right before the crash, the ship kind of veers hard right and makes a beeline right for the pillar at the far end of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And
I noticed that as well. And when I was watching it, it did seem like it was almost intentional. And I know there's the story of the power outage, and I wouldn't know how to operate a ship like that, so maybe that is a possibility that they lost all controls and then it veered way off to the side and hit the pillar. But it did seem like something that – it didn't seem accidental to me. I just don't know how that happens if it's going straight and then all of a sudden it seems to purposely hit the bridge. Well, I don't know. Yeah, that's just what it looked like to me.
Yeah,
this is like an enormous ship we're talking about here, and it weighs, 100 tons, the ship alone, plus all the cargo on it.
So it like couldn't just be like currents or something, is what you're saying?
At the last second, it veers hard right. I mean, that's just not the way like physics works. I mean, somebody turned that ship at the last second.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and of course, I saw that same thing, so I'll watch it a couple more times where it looked like it turned, but I want to use quotes with the word looked, because it's like at night, it's dark. When it goes dark, you can't see all the features on it, and so I was a little confused by what I was seeing. So maybe I'll like watch it again and see if I can see that it turned. But my actual impression is that ships that are that big, the whole thing happened in the course of 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They can't really change the direction they're going that fast at all. So to me, it almost seems like it was heading for it to begin with.
It's very clear. Yeah. So first of all, it is dark. But if you turn the gain up, like if you put it in like a film program and you turn the gain up, so you can actually start to see the corners of the ship and things like that, and make it brighter, then it's very clear what happens. The ship it makes a hard veer to the right, like about 3 seconds before it crashes into the pillar.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no physical way possible that could happen unless A, they dropped an anchor starboard, and it made that hard port turn because of physics, which they already said that there were no anchors dropped. So the only other possibility, physically speaking, I mean, like, we're talking about basic physics here. The only other possibility is that that ship was turned. And I'm not saying that the captain of the ship turned it, but all these ships are run on computers.
Yep. Yeah. Now. No, I'm thinking the same sort of things. In fact, I mean, your argument's a little bit maybe even more extreme than mine, because I was looking at it and in my opinion, I was saying that I think that it was already heading for it. But you're saying you think it turned into it. But yeah, these systems are controlled, and there's only so many different like manufacturers for them, and they use something called CAN bus. A lot, where everything is basically on like an Ethernet kind of plug, and they're using that to communicate everything in the ship, and you know, from the rudders to stabilization to batteries to the levels in tanks to everything is like controlled on these CAN bus systems. But well, that kind of thing is you know, you could hack it. Just think about like the World Trade Centers.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take before they rebuilt that?
Well,
they didn't rebuild them, but they rebuilt something else. But it was like,
yeah, I was going to ask you guys how long will it take to fix it
or something. I mean, well, it should take that. It should just take like a month, literally, in my opinion, to get the wreckage out of there.
Yeah,
ships could go through. That was the thing I was trying to say earlier. The fact that the traffic way is down isn't nearly as important as the fact that the ships are locked in, because there's other bridges and they can just go further down, you know, the waterway and go a different route. The fact that the ships are locked in there is really the big thing.
Well, and it's hard because, so you're asking...
Is always, I mean, you're talking... Keep in mind, the Francis Scott Key Bridge is right on the Baltimore Beltway. 695 is clogged anyway, all the time. I mean, and if you take out a infrastructure like the Francis Scott Key Bridge, you've seriously caused huge ripple effects, not in the Baltimore economy, but the Maryland economy as a whole, and Northern Virginia, the Richmond economy. I mean, you've done serious, serious damage. And on a Beltway like 695, which I know very well, I went to Towson University, for all those listening that know where that's at. I know this Beltway.
I know your real name now. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Well, look, I mean, just from taking out the Francis Scott Key Bridge, I mean, you're seriously going to do significant damage to the 695 Beltway. And I was on 695 earlier today, actually, and I noticed significantly more backup already. One day after than I normally.
Oh, I'm sure. Because, yeah, they can't get past the bridge. They have to reroute all that traffic.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying, though, is the traffic can reroute. It's like, it's not great, but I'm saying that the fact that the harbor is actually blocked up is going to cause way more issues. Like, if you put dollars on it, you said, okay, everybody's late to work by, you know, whatever, an hour or whatever. You could put a price on that, and sure, it's not, like, nice, but it is what it is.
But it's not millions but it's not, yeah, billions exactly. of dollars. Yeah,
I mean, and
just, like, stuff that's supposed to be sent to people that isn't getting delivered, but probably more important than that, like, something like coal or something.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's, like,
some
cargo
kind of raw
ships
materials.
I'd love to take bets on how long we think it'll be before they... like clear the wreckage out of the way, because like I say, it shouldn't take that long. You get some underwater divers there and they start, you know.
Yeah, but we're talking about the state doing something, right?
So yeah exactly. So well, that's long... the thing, they're more incompetent now than they ever were before.
Absolutely. So how long should it take? That's one question. How long will it take? That's another question, because I'm just thinking about road work in Keene.
Yeah,
Island Street Bridge has been down for over a year. You know what I mean? And that is a job that should have taken a couple of months.
That's just crazy. You know I've never what I seen mean? Anywhere take longer than New Hampshire
it's been,
for things
everything's
to get built.
Been getting longer
well, Massachusetts
and longer
too.
As I've been getting
I mean,
older.
Massachusetts, New York, but I'm thinking of road work that took months and months and months
dig.
To do. The big dig is a whole other story. Oh my gosh, that was a catastrophe.
In Boston.
Initially, when it was first built, the Francis Scott Key Bridge took about 5 years to build.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Is it completely destroyed? Like,
yeah, the whole thing is underwater.
It's not salvageable. It's completely
collapsed.
Destroyed. I mean, they're going to have to rebuild it.
How many people died? Does anyone know? Or did Did anyone die?
I think I've heard like 13 that went up.
Yeah.
Last I heard it was eight, but that was like yesterday that I last checked into this. Yeah, people died. And I mean, it was awful.
They really assumed, and that's it's kind of offensive the way they handled this, but they just sort of assumed that everyone on that bridge was dead, and some of them were in their cars. You know, some of these create seals. You know, some of these cars are sealed. You know? I mean, there are Lincolns that have been that are airtight, and they didn't even bother to go. What if some of these people did survive in their car and they're down there suffocating?
Yeah,
because of the pressure, and they're running out of air, and they just left.
Yeah,
down.
They'd run out of air within like a couple hours.
But that's the thing too. It's like
worse than being fast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so many people argue. Well, we need the state. Who would rescue the people that, you know, fall into the lake if we don't have the state? Like, we need all of these emergency services. We need all these services. But people actually fall off a bridge, come crumbling into the water, and they're not even going to send some sort of scuba team down
there? The state makes us less safe.
Absolutely. I mean, that is just like such a major disregard for human life.
Well, not only that, how many times people try helping people and the state says, no, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Yeah, even just like simple things like feeding homeless people.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
David in New Mexico has done just that. David, what's on your mind?
How's a tiny tyrant doing tonight?
Me? Good.
Good, good.
Thank you. Minnie Mao.
Wait, is that what you call her?
Minnie Mao?
Minnie Mao, tiny tyrant. I'm going to write these down. This is the only thing I'm writing down from tonight.
Yeah, you're giving him good... good ammunition.
What's actually on your mind, David?
Is that lots of stuff? You know the answer to that question already.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's crazy.
Is that TJ?
No, Colin's on with us.
Wow, do I sound like him?
No. Why don't? That was just the best guess that I had because without bringing up video live, I didn't know who it was.
He's bald, so you don't want to look.
I'm not bald.
Anyways,
I'm just trying to toughen you up, kid.
Oh, I'm just trying to toughen you up, kid.
But he's been.
He's been what?
I can't say the rest. I can't say it. It's not allowed on FCC radio.
Ben
if
bald?
I say the next word. You can't say that.
Wait, that means something bad? I honestly didn't know.
Well, now
okay,
you do.
Bjork.
Bjork?
Don't use Bjork's name in vain.
What, is there something, an inside thing about Bjork that I don't know? What's
she has
this?
A song where she says, it's getting very quiet. Shh.
Oh, yeah.
She's so creepy.
So quiet. Yeah. She says it really creepy, too.
Well, you'd be creepy, too, if you were of Asian descent living in Iceland with all the pasty, white, dead-looking people.
I'm learning so much right now.
I wondered if she was Asian. I thought she was like some kind of like, like Aborigine, but of
like
Iceland. I don't think it's the same word. Yeah. That's what I always assumed, but I've never
Googled
it.
That's what I did too.
What kind of Asian is she, David?
I don't know. It's been decades since I bothered to look up anything about her, but I may not even have looked it up. Well, here's what happens though. Is it's usually dudes from places like Iceland. Iceland is really, really isolated.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why
I call it Iceland because it's isolated. And the same thing goes to a lesser extent. The more isolated you are, the more it happens. But these pasty white guys who are my peers, I'm one of those pasty white guys from the frozen north. They will go about around the world, and Icelanders are Norwegians. That's who they are. They're just in Iceland. They're a different country. But if you go back into history, before modern times especially, they were quite the voyagers. And I'm not just talking about the Vikings, but they have a lust for adventure, and they've gone all around the world – and they often will meet women, you know, wherever, you know, from the South Pacific or from Japan or China or South America or wherever, and they'll marry them and bring them back. And
like the Dutch Indonesians, guess. They're so beautiful. Like that's a crazy, extremely beautiful mix. Like just, it's just crazy how many hits there are. If you just Google like Dutch Indonesian women, they're really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they have a, like a dating app in Iceland that helps make sure you're at least, you know, so many cousins removed from the other person. Yeah. I've heard about this.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they got it.
I've also heard it's like an amazing place to live as far as safety and crime and like
it's really beautiful.
I do think it's beautiful too. I'd love to go there. I saw a Justin Bieber music video film there.
It's probably the safest nation in the world, I'm guessing.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the safest, but I've heard it's like very safe. But the article I was reading was like emphasizing how they do not need guns because it's so safe. And it's just like, it's, they're just not killing each other.
Great. I'm going to go invade.
You guys would like it because they had a national mourning. I mean, a formal mourning. I don't mean like evening mourning. I mean, with a U, mourning. Yeah. That because their cops for the first time in history had killed somebody.
Mm.
Whoa. What did they say that they did it for?
I don't know. I didn't research it, but obviously it's just a typical thing. They had somebody they were after and the person did whatever they needed to do to get shot. And that's the first time it ever happened in Iceland.
They've been watching too much American media there.
I'm surprised the cops even have guns there.
Before, they're not bobbies. Before the tiny tyrant Minnie Mao hangs up on me, what I called about is I actually caused one of Barack Obama's big Dumbo ears to cock. I did that.
What does that mean exactly?
And I can say that word because, pardon? What?
Well, I'm just asking what exactly that means.
That means that I was at his, I was invited by the Democratic Party in New Mexico to attend the town hall in Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, actually, suburb, the very, very first town hall that Dumbo had after he got elected. They invited me to the town hall. And I heckled Obama after his speech. I didn't really heckle him. I tried to get his attention.
Did national news cover it?
I doubt it. I never saw anything about it. I didn't heckle him. I just called out about civil rights. You know the stuff that Jay is going through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the same kind of thing was happening to me. And so I yelled down the hallway as Obama was walking away. He was like, I don't know, 40, 50 feet down the hall. Like the classic scene, like somebody walking down a lit hallway, so they're kind of silhouetted. And he's kind of all by himself out in front, you know, with a few straggling secret service behind him. And I call this out, and because he's silhouetted, you can see his big Dumbo ears, right? And as I say this, you see the one on the right side, kind of, he turns his head towards me like you would do when somebody, you hear a sound behind you, you kind of turn your head one way or the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I made Obama do that.
Russell Brick, the founder of the infamous Silk Road Marketplace, turns 40 on March 27th. He was sentenced to 2 life sentences to serve in prison and has already spent 11 years in prison cells since he was 29. As his 40th birthday is almost here, well, this was written like 2 days ago, the global cryptocurrency community again starts calling on U.S. authorities to release Ulbricht from imprisonment. I think that more people than just cryptocurrency users should, everyone in America should understand this.
It's so insane to me that Ross Ulbricht is still in jail right now. There are people who were convicted of serious, heinous, violent crimes. There are people who have murdered other people directly that have gotten less time than Ross has.
We were talking the other day about the guy that killed a guy who sexually assaulted his son.
Yeah.
And he got, like, it was like, 6 months, but it was suspended, so nothing happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's...
I mean, that's a pretty legit reason to kill someone.
I mean, yeah, that happened proven. It was in the 80s is one thing, and it was in Louisiana, so it was...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know. If it was absolutely like there was like it was absolutely positive that that happened. One thing makes me wonder, like, if you were in the room when it happened, why didn't you kill him? So how sure was the guy? But anyways, it doesn't matter because I didn't look it up. There may be information online that, like,
it doesn't matter what you say. You didn't do any research. That's my excuse. That's been my excuse this whole evening.
Yeah, you don't know anything, but you talk.
Yeah.
It's the thing that men do.
Why we're less happy and less sad.
Just so much serotonin, just sitting around like whatever.
Exactly.
Baseline.
It's just based stoicism.
Yep. Oh my God. It says, Ulbricht set up the darknet marketplace Silk Road in 2011. The website ran on the Tor network, which is the Onion...
The Onion router.
Okay, I thought so, but for some reason it sounded wrong.
You're thinking of the funny news, you know, the Onion network.
I think that's what messed me up. So the website ran on the Tor network, and it attracted numerous sellers of drugs and other illegal products and services, but not exclusively. Like, you could also go on there and get things that weren't illegal to buy. And Bitcoin was used for payments. Silk Road could not but... I think it's supposed to say, Silk Road could not help but attract law enforcement authorities' attention. And in 2013, Ulbricht was tracked down and arrested with Silk Road closed down. Many within the cryptocurrency community around the world have been making calls for him to be set free, but to no avail. Ulbricht runs an account on X, or Twitter, and he often tweets from prison. In the middle of March, he published a post...
Well, one little correction. I think he tells the
his
tweets...
His fiancé does.
No, I thought his mom was doing it.
No, it says on there, it says...
He has a fiancé?
Run by my... I know, me and Riley were talking about this today. I said, I always notice on his Twitter, it says, tweets are sent out by my fiancé in the free world,
what
or something
it,
like that.
What
and
is
I know
it with you women and loving these guys who are in prison?
I was already in love with this guy who's in prison.
I know. I'm making a joke for anybody who's listening. But no, it is a thing. Like, that's what my plan is, to get a girl. I'm going to just go to prison and...
You got to do it for life.
For life?
Wow, that's a commitment.
Before I made the story more about myself, because I'm being harassed by a stupid cop at the Merrimack County in New Hampshire Department of Corrections jail... And by a cop named Schultz. So if you'd like to call him, you can Google the number and tell him you don't appreciate what he did to me. He banned me from visiting Ian, banned me from seeing Ian through a thick glass pane for 30 days.
Is Ian going to be moved to a federal facility eventually?
Yeah, we just have no clue when. Like, this could
be... this is crazy that he's been in this place... That he's, I mean, obviously he's like not supposed to be in jail if you want to think about things logically.
Yeah.
But he's not really supposed to be in a, in like a county jail sort of situation, like federal. And honestly, like the federal camps, like he'd be better off there.
Yeah. And visits would be like in person. I would just be able to like touch
him.
Yeah.
It's very, like when I've gone to see Arya at the federal camp, it's like very casual.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's pros and cons to both.
Everything about this.
There's
whole
pretty
case
like
has
cons
been...
and cons, actually. But you know, if you're looking at the bright side, there are, you know,
I feel like it's
pros and
mostly cons about being in the county jail as opposed to if he was in a camp. The thing is, like, for all I know, they could say like, oh, we're gonna put him in medium security, and then it'd be way worse, I think. But
I don't think they would be able to do that. I mean,
everything
of course,
about this case has been so strange.
That,
all
like,
the
exactly.
various delays.
Yeah.
Just it's always it's as if they're like arguing amongst themselves about what to do with him, you know, like,
it's
oh,
so
let's
strange
do
because
this. No, it's not worth it, you know, like.
The thing that we're waiting on for him to be moved was done in January, if not February, but.
It seemed like a long time ago.
The thing that we were like, oh, once that's done, he'll get moved, has happened over a month ago,
it literally,
to say the very least.
It feels like Arya is going to be, like, home before he gets to wherever.
Yeah,
and we don't know where he's going, right? So maybe he's not going to go where Arya is.
Yeah.
That would make the most sense, probably. But, like, it's just weird how they just string people along with no answers. Because even when Arya, at Porkfest, that was when she got the call from the marshals. I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
It sounded really dramatic, and it made her very uncomfortable. But she didn't know where she was going to be placed. She didn't even know if she was going to be in a men's or women's facility. Until like a week before they took her.
Right.
That's insane.
And they do just like string you along on purpose. They're like, yeah, we'll let you know. Yeah, you don't need to know.
As if they don't know. They know exactly when everything's happening. So.
I agree. They probably already know way before they end up telling people, because it's just like all of this, the whole system, the system itself, like the government, the corporations, all of these people who want to control you. The thing is, the thing they want the most is to keep you in a state of high stress, to keep your cortisol pulsing through your body. That's what the thing I have mostly found out. I don't believe it's always just about money, because they can just create more money. Ultimately, they have all the resources to make more money. They don't need to get a job and work. They're parasites.
There's different forms of control, right? And there's different ways to achieve that control. And I think what you're talking about is like keeping people in a constant state of like panic and fear. That is a great technique to control people.
It keeps them stupid. It keeps like population down. Like you're not going to be like as able to reproduce even if you're in high cortisol, because it is what's the female hormone they say? Estrogen. And anti-progesterone to be in cortisol. Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot.
You know what? I didn't know that, but that makes sense, because a lot of women are able to get pregnant, but they don't stay pregnant.
And
a lot of the times they'll say like, oh, no, because they don't, when you first get pregnant, your progesterone rises so you can stay pregnant.
Yeah. And
so that's what keeps you pregnant.
Estrogen.
Hormone wise.
If somebody came up and injected somebody with too much estrogen at any point in a pregnancy, the baby would die. That's basically what the abortion pill is.
Probably within like the first trimester, maybe second.
I've been learning, because I watched a documentary, and I've been learning a lot about estrogen for like months now. Mm-hmm. Estrogen, serotonin, how bad those things are, and how much better having a high baseline of dopamine is, and keeping down your serotonin. Well, that's what I keep hearing, that like at any point during a pregnancy, if you have too much estrogen, the baby can die, even like right up until the day that the baby was
supposed
to be born.
Well, your estrogen rises, so both your estrogen and your progesterone rise in pregnancy,
but
so you have like a higher level.
I'm just saying too much.
If it's imbalanced with the progesterone.
So I don't know the number. It's probably different for each woman, but that's what they discovered when they were creating birth control. We have Law Dog in Michigan. Law Dog, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, how you doing there? See the infinite wisdom of the governor up here in Michigan. She is now in the process of obtaining tax dollar money so that people can start housing and getting $500 a month for illegal aliens that move into their home.
Illegal aliens are moving into people's homes?
Yes, and the people are getting, our taxpayer money is going for this program where illegal aliens are going into people's homes, and the homeowner is getting $500 a month.
So, they're inviting them in and paying them?
They're inviting the illegal aliens into the home so they can get the cash money, which is funded by us Michigan taxpayers.
Wait, is this voluntary or not? Are they being forced?
This is voluntary, yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of poor people that need the money in Michigan because the economic situation.
I understand that it's messed up that they're getting paid from taxpayer funds to do it. That's really the only
the
thing I see wrong
side,
with it.
Side of it's obvious, but I would have to say, I mean, you have to look at the exact nature of the program and what the rights and all of that sort of stuff are. But it might be better to do that than to just stick them in a hotel in the middle of New York City, you know, where they're not even really supposed to be leaving those buildings, and they're like have curfews and stuff like that.
Weird.
But if they're with a family, you know, and
what's
the family's
the point
signed
of that?
Up for it,
why
that's
are
a little
people
better,
leaving their
more assimilation
countries,
chances.
Even if it's like they're going to get exploded? Why would you leave your country to go sit in a hotel room, get given $10,000 by New York City and sit in a hotel room and have to poop in the street. Why is that better than what was happening to you before?
It might have been. It might
understand.
Be. You know?
I literally don't understand unless you want to come here and have a productive life. And I'm not saying like just like get a job. I mean like have a fulfilling life. Like that's not fulfilling. And maybe they're being lied to. But if I showed up and it was like that, I would get myself out of that situation. There are plenty of illegal aliens from Mexico who come up here. And I don't even like that term, but there are plenty of people who are
illegal. It literally makes me think of like outer space aliens.
Literally. So there are plenty of people who are, they don't have a social security number. They are not, they weren't born in the United States and they come here. They didn't do the legal route and they work really hard and they make very fulfilling lives for themselves. So why would you, what kind of person would you have to be? Like how low is your IQ that you just get stuck in a park in New York City and all you do is poop on the ground? Like I didn't think that this was real until I looked into it. Like, no, you should probably just, like, go do something with your life. And no, don't tell me that New York City is forcing you not to. You're just happy with that. And that's, like, I don't want those types of people shipped here. I don't.
It is confusing. It's, like, how did all of these people come to be in New York City? Like, where did they come from?
They literally got shipped here.
Yeah.
It's like a grand conspiracy, actually. I mean, there's a lot of, like, there have been some people talking about this. I think it's, I might be wrong, but Eric Weinstein, and he went down to the Darien Gap, which is an area in Panama, right above Venezuela. I hope I'm right on that. I might have gotten that part wrong. But in any case, I should know better, too. It's an area, so there's no direct road all the way from North America to South America. It breaks up for, like, this 100-mile stretch. But this 100-mile stretch is, like, really treacherous because it's mountainous, it's tropical with mosquitoes and stuff like that. And so they're like, shipping people through there because you can't, like, just get through it on your own. You either have to take a ferry and go
is
around
it.
No, it's land. There are paths there, but there's no roads and there's no infrastructure.
Is it like
and
desert?
No, it's like tropical, but like dangerous tropical,
okay,
like with mosquitoes and like poisonous, you know, snakes and things like that.
Is it like in the Amazon technically or something?
No, that wouldn't be the Amazon. You could imagine it like the Amazon. It's going to be a tropical kind of thing, but
spiders, snakes.
Yeah, it's
frogs.
And I mean, there's high mountains there too. So I don't think they're just walking along the coast. I think they're like up in the mountains too. It's apparently a very like treacherous place to go between, and not a lot of people do it. A lot of like cartels will like hide out there as like a safe place, you know. But
so you're saying that those people are getting shipped to the United States?
Yes, or they're being trafficked through there on like certain routes and stuff.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.